Okay. I wanted to, again, at the end of the year, why am I doing this? So I this is a topic that's very, very important topic, and in terms of getting a sense of what we've been doing all year. And really, 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 the most appropriate time that I should have been going through these makoros and kind of going through this with you is the beginning of the year. But I think purposefully, you need to have some language. You need to understand what Gemara is and appreciate what you've been doing in order to really appreciate what we're going to do today. So I think there is, while it makes sense to do it before you start getting into real yeshiva learning, better late than never, and I think there is value to it at this point in time as well. So there's a very, very famous introduction of the Rambam. He has a Perish HaMishnayis, and his Hakdama to Perish HaMishnayis is a sefer in and of itself, and in that sefer is the most important part of the Hakdama to Perish HaMishnayis, and the Rambam identifies five different categories of Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, he identifies five. You could really easily collapse it into three. And the five categories are, the first two is one category. Category one he calls HaPerushim HaMikubalim Mimoshe. Sheyeson Hora B'Ksav, O Efshal Tzem B'Hekesh, Ve'elu Ein B'Hem Achlekes La'olam, Ela, Kasher Yomer Adam Kibalti Kach V'Kach Mistalek HaVikuach. These are Perushim, that are what we call Perushim HaMikubalim Mei Sinai. Is there a text here? Yes. But is there any doubt as to the meaning of the text? The meaning of the text was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Okay? So I would call it a textual halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. That's what it really is. It's halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, but with a text. So for example, the classic example of that, I'll give you two classic examples. One is, how does the Torah refer to tefillin? It says totafos. Totafos, no one knows what totafos means. It's a very hard word to know what that means. And does anyone have any machlokes? Oh, maybe totafos is X, Y, or Z? No. Everyone knows that it means tefillin. How do we know that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told on Sinai that the term totafos means tefillin. Similarly, there is something called a pre-eitz hadar. What does pre-eitz hadar mean literally? A nice looking a pre from a nice tree. That's what it means. It could be anything. An orange is very hadar. Ooh, I love the curvature of a pear, and I happen to love the look of rimonim. They're also hadar. What makes a esrog a pre-eitz hadar? The answer is halacha lemoshe mi-sinai. That was the perish hamikubal that was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's category number one. Category number two is very similar with one thing missing, and that is what we call halacha lemoshe mi-sinai. It is a halacha lemoshe mi-sinai without the textual hook. And therefore, if I were to ask you, is tefillin supposed to be black? Yes. How do you know? Halach Moshe. Is there any Torah source to that effect? None whatsoever. Halach Moshe Mi-Sinai. So category one and category two are really what we will call halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. One with a textual, with a text, and one without a text. It's one category. Says the Rambam, in this category, will you ever find any machlokas whatsoever? No. Because this was a direct mesorah, unfettered, clean, pure, straight from Sinai. Good?
Like Siddukim, for example, would not argue with halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai?
When I say no machlokes, yeah, a reformed rabbi can say whatever he wants. In other words...
I'm saying because there's no textual...
It's Tzeduki. I don't know what a Tzeduki would say on halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. I don't know. But when I say no machlokes, I mean amongst the Chachmei HaMesorah.
Okay. So it's Doraisa.
It's Doraisa. It's Doraisa. Okay. Chelek HaShlishi. We're not going to read this all. But the Chelek HaShlishi, the Rambam describes as Doraisas that are not Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that were basically dinim that are derived from textual analysis. So basically, you'll use your Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreses Behen, Hekesh, your own Seichel interpretation to look at a text and interpret it. Is it a Din D'Oraisa?
Yes.
For sure it is. Why? Because it's sourced in text. And that is a Din D'Oraisa. Will you have machlokas in this area?
Yes.
The answer is yes. You will have machlokas in this area because two different human beings can look at a text differently, and using their seichel can analyze and derive something different. And those machloksim And the Rambam makes a big fuss about this. Look at the second paragraph of Chelek HaShlishi. Big fuss. Because this is a big error that people have. How come there's so machlok, many machlokas? You can't go one daf without a machlokas. Ava machsheves misha chayshev. Shadinim shenechlu bahem hem gam ken mikubal mimoshe. There are some people who think erroneously that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. And therefore, how did machlokas crop in? Because mistakes crept in. You've all played the game Broken Telephone? How does Broken Telephone work? Everyone's whispering to their friend, and at some point things get garbled, and at the end of that line, the message is the wrong message that was originally given. A break in the Masorah. Says the Rambam, that is absolutely not correct. It's not. Not for Machlokas. People think everything was given at Sinai. Why do you have Machlokas? Because B'derech HaTos from the Shmuel so HaShikha U'Shechal Kibbal Emes Ha'achar To'a B'Kabbalos HaShachach O'Shol Shomai Me'Rabo Kom HaShok L'Shmoa. And that, says the Rambam, is absolutely not correct. Anything that was given at Sinai, we have a very powerful and strong Masorah, which is exactly what Pirkei Avos is all about. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, Umasli Yoshua, and every one of the members that is in Pirkei Avos is also a Baal HaMasorah, the chain going all the way down. So how did Machlokas, why do we have so much Machlokas? Svaras. And when people were like on a very high level and very lined up in Midos and everything else, says there weren't as many machleksim. But as people started to diversify and look at life differently and had different approaches and understandings, etc., machleksim developed. Now, I would add a point which I think is a good way to look at it. And this is also sourced, not in the Rambam, but other sources. And that is that Hashem even implanted in Torah, Shivim Panim. It's part of Torah is a very, very broad vision of Torah. And therefore, within Torah, there are many different ways of looking at certain halachas that are planted in, implanted into the Torah itself. And as a result, as I mentioned to some of you, you've seen in your lifetime these pictures that have multiple images in one picture. I'm referring to specifically, you know, the duck-rabbit picture. The duck rabbit, so you could look at it and you'll see a rabbit. Someone else look at it and see a duck. Are they both there? Are they that one too? Are they both there? I'm trying to keep it clean over here. Are they both there? So they're both there. The duck and the rabbit are both there. So why am I going to see the duck and you're going to see the rabbit? Because maybe in my backyard I have a duck pond. So I'm more inclined to see the duck and you have a rabbit pond, rabbits in your, you have rabbits in your backyard, so you're more inclined to see the rabbit. But they're both there. They're both there, and we have a machlokas. What is it? And even, I might even see the rabbit, but I will hold that the duck is dominant. So I call it a duck. And you might see the duck, but you hold the rabbit as dominant. So that's what you'll, but they're both there. And you can have machlokas that develop in that fashion, based on seichel, based on textual analysis. Is category 3 doraisa? Absolutely. Yes. Can there be machleksim? Yes. Absolutely. Categories 4 and 5 are what we will call dinim derabbanan. And there's two, broadly speaking, dinim derabbanan. There's one that he calls siyagim. And siyagim are what we call gzeros derabbanan that emerge because Chazal wanted to make a quote-unquote safer Torah. How do you make a safer Torah? You put a fence around the Torah. Gzeros. Don't ride a horse on Shabbos. He might come to break branches. Don't go ahead and play musical instruments because it might break and he might come to fix the musical instrument. Those are gzeros. And then you have category 5. You have takonos. And takonos are made in a lot of different areas. Takonos, minhagos. You have a takana, for example, to light Neros Shabbos. That's a din derabbanan, a takana. Read the Megillah. Light Hanukkah candles. You might have takanas that the rabbis make that when you build a house, don't build a house that's too close to your neighbor's house because you're going to look into his property. That's called Hezekiah. You could have dinim derabbanan that are various takanos, and those are your 5 categories. Everything fits into one of those 5 categories. And what I want to make a very important point is I want to talk about category one for a second. The Perushim HaMikubalim. And again, how many of you learned Sukkah this year? Okay, sukkah is a really good example. There's a sukkah in sukkah, but the reason I'm doing this is because some of you got all worked up with that daf of drushes, and sometimes you hit a drush, and the Gemara has a drusha, and it's like a crazy drusha. Like, if you were learning this text, there's no way in the world you would get from that text with that drusha to this halach. There's no way in the world you would pull that off. No way. And it causes sometimes a young learner to say this is ridiculous. Like, what's going on? I'll give you two examples of like seemingly very strange drushas. Both in Masechet Sukkah, I believe. But the most obvious one, and this is a classic, is Pri Etz Hadar. So Pri Etz Hadar, the Gemara wants to know that how do you know it's an Esrog? How do you know it's an Esrog? The Gemara gives, if I recall, three different approaches. What? Okay, Hadar Mishana L'Shana. What's the other one?
What would they compare it to? Like
Hador.
What?
What would they compare it to? Hadar means why deer.
Okay, so I want to focus on one of them, and that is that it's Gadel Al Rov Mayim. It grows with a lot of water, and it needs water. How does it get to the need of water? Because pre-ates Hadar, the word eight Hadar, means idur, which means water.
It sounds like idur.
It means water.
In what language?
So the answer is in Latin. In Latin language, meaning in the ancient Latin, Greek language, and it's also true in modern day English. Because if you are lacking water or you need water, what do we say? I need to be hydrated. I am getting dehydrated. I have water power that's called hydropower. HDR in Latin, in Greek, means water. So do you know how come a pre-8 hadar means an esrog? Because esrog needs a lot of water, and hadar, HDR in Greek, means water? Push it. Pre-8 hadar is an esrog. So you look at that, and you're a young, learner, and you say, like, what? That's how I know? That's the pshat? The Gemara has a discussion. How do you know that Nisuch HaMayim? How do you know Nisuch HaMayim? Nisuch HaMayim in HaTorah Minayim. And the Gemara in the Parsha of Karbonus speaks, has notes that there's a couple of ways when you read in the parsha, it says sometimes viniska, and sometimes it says unesacheha, and sometimes it says viniskehem, and sometimes it says kamishpat, and sometimes it says kamishpatam. It could have said kamishpat, it said kamishpatam. Ah, that's an extra mem. It could have said viniska, but it says unesacheha, that's an extra yud. It could have said Viniska, it says Viniskehem, that's an extra mem. Ah, mem, yud, mem, my, very good, got it, push it. For sure, that's the way, but Nisuch HaMayim.
This is like a memory tag.
So is that the limud? What came first, the pasuk or the din?
The din.
And the answer is, the din came first. Where did the din come from? Torah Shabbat Peh, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And the rabbis came along and now pinned it on a pasuk. They found a textual allusion. Which category is this? One or two?
One.
It's category one, but really one and two are the same category. One is a category of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which they found a textual pin, and two is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which they did not have a textual pin. But they're fundamentally the same. And sometimes when you see drushos, that in your seichel, you're saying, like, how in the world? Like, can't be. The answer more likely is, and don't get, like, frustrated. The answer is, yeah, this is a masorah. This is halach moshe misina, which now the chacham are coming up with a pin. Now, you'll ask me, is this just some kind of mnemonic device? So the Ritva in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says yes. The Ritva says that yes, Chazal wanted is a vast Torah Shabbat Peh, and with a vast Torah Shabbat Peh, we need help to kind of just trigger it or link Torah Shabbat Peh to Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Rabbanim did just that. They did just that. But that's a very, very important concept. Now, the premise of this Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos is, was the entirety of Torah given over to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai?
No.
The answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. For sure, the only thing that was given is the text, category one, category two. Category three is already human intellect. Category four and five are human invention. And that is the vision of the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos. Yes, sir.
So the Yud and Mem are still extra, though, because without it, we still wouldn't have the Halakha.
Maybe, but in other words, we did want, in other words, there is an idea, a very deep idea, of bridging Torah Shebikhtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. They do need to be bridged, and these are part of the ways of bridging them. And they might not be extra, by the way. It might not be as extra as you think. Yeah, you have to. They might not be extra. Okay, that is the end of packet number seven. Okay, now I want to move into packet number two, and discuss exactly, take this a little bit further, and because we will hear Chazals that are set over, and they're sourced. You'll see Rabbanim that say every single thing was given at Sinai. And I'm telling you right now, you heard from me, and I'm not, according to Rambam, is that true? It is not true. But there are Chazals that say everything was given at Sinai. And if you look at Chagiga Davav Medbeis, Rabbi Shmuel says, Klalos Nehru B'Sinai, Pratos Bo'al Moed, Rabbi Kiva Amar, Klalos Pratos Nehru B'Sinai. All the Klalim and the Pratos were given at Sinai. Okay, that sounds pretty broad, according to Rabbi Akiva. Shmos, Chav Dalet, and the Gemara Brachos, which Darshas. Come up to the mount. And I'm going to give you luchos ha'even v'hatorah v'amitzah asher kasafti lehorosam. And the Gemara darshes, what did Moshe get at Sinai? Luchos is aseres hadibros. Check. Torah zemikra. Check. Mitzvah zumishna. Asher kasafti elunach lehorosam ze talmud. Malamed Shekulam Nutnula Moshe Misina. This source indicates that basically every daf in Shas Bava Yushalmi, Mishnayos, Nach, even events Lechora that did not happen yet, which is wild to think about, was given at Sinai. Very inclusive. The most inclusive source is number four. Famous Gemar Masechus Megillah Daf Yutes, and the Pasuk says that Valeyem, I'm going to give you Kechol Advar Asher Dibar Hashem Alchem Bahar Melamed, and listen, listen to the words carefully. Sheher'ehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Hashem showed to Moshe Dikduke Torah V'Dikduke Sofrim Uma Shasofrim Atidim L'Chadesh. So when Rav Chaim Brisker was in the Beis Medrash in Valoshim saying over Chidushim, who already knew those Chidushim? Moshe already had those Chidushim. Very, very broad. And finally, a Yerushalmi. A beautiful Yerushalmi. Rabbi Shimon Levi Omer, Mikra Mishra Talmud V'Agada, Afilu Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Lahoros of Nerabo. Comes along Daniel Jaffe and Shir, and he says over a razzle dazzle Kiddush. And the Rebbe says, wow, that's a good Kiddush. I love it. But, says the Yerushalmi, it's not a Kiddush. Why is it not a chiddush? Because meshivu chaver va'omalo kvar haya la'olamim. Great idea, but it's not your idea. It was already, and you know why he had it, why he came up with it? Because when he was in the womb, what was taught him? Kalatoro Kul was taught him, everything was taught him, and then he forgot it. So now he was able to recall it. He was able to recall it. Now, these sources indicate that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. And I'm going to jump ahead, but the source that I think is most compelling that's not true. There are many sources that are not true. You have them here, but look at 14, the famous Gemara, and this I want to spend a little bit of time on. It's critically, critically important.
What's not true?
Is it really true? Is it really true that that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai? So it's a very famous Gemara. You're all familiar with it. So the Gemara tells us in Menachas Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, Amar Rab B'Sha'a She'ala Moshe Lamarom. When Moshe went up Lamarom, where's Marom? Upstairs. It's referring to Har Sinai. Matzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Kosher Ksarim LaOsios. Hashem is tying crowns on the Osios. Amar Lo Fana Ribbono Shel Olam Mima Akiv Al Yadecha. What are you doing? Why are you putting crowns on letters? Amar Lo Adam Echad Yesh Sha'atid Liyos Besov Kamados VaAkiva Ben Yosef Shmo Sha'asid Lidros Kol Kotz VeKotz Tilum Tilum Shalachas. He's going to darsh in every single crown on the letters. Amar Lo Fana Ribbono Shel Olam Hereuli. I'd love to see this, Rabbi Akiva. Let's go to the videotape. And he says, I'll show you Rabbi Akiva. And we flash forward into Rabbi Akiva's classroom. Halach v'yoshev is so shmona shuros. And Moshe Rabbeinu sits in the back of the shir, eight rows in. V'lo haya yodea mahin omrim. And he doesn't have a clue. Toshash kocho. He got depressed. Kevin shidiel at davarecha. They got to a certain topic. I'm a little tamid. Rabbi! Minayin lecha? How do you know this to be the case? And the Rebbe says, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Nisyash vadato. So Moshe Rabbeinu, feels okay. Feels okay. Omar. Chazar ba'al l'fnei ha'kaz b'ruch. Omar l'fan ha'ribon ha'sholom. Yesh ha'odin kazev ha'tan osin torah yodi. Omar lo, stoik kach ala b'machshav l'fan. So Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in Shir in front of Rabbi Akiva. Who is Rabbi Akiva? He is the paragon of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? He is the paragon of Torah Shebichtav. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells him, he's tying the crowns. Moshe says, why? Go to Rabbi Akiva's Shir. And Moshe is sitting there, he doesn't have a clue. How can he not have a clue? After all, he got everything. He got everything. He knew everything. So, and then, Halacha Moshe Mitzina, all is good. Moshe is depressed, now all is good. So what's the pshat? I just want to show you an interesting thought. There's a comment, look at source 19. There's a comment made that by the Taisis Yantin. This is an interesting little idea, where he says, did Moshe get the entire Torah? Did Moshe receive the entire Torah? Everything. So Tosafot Yantav said everything, even when Daniel Jaffe's Chiddush. So the Tosafot Yantav is medayik. That what did Moshe, so to speak, get? The Pasuk, the Gemara says, look at back to source number, what source is it? What source is it? Look at source number, where is it? Four. For the Gemara Megillah, Melamed Sheher Eyu Akadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. What Hashem? He showed it. Did he like teach it to him? He showed it to him. He got a glimpse of it. Did he have it? Was it given to him? So says the Taisus Yontif in source number, what source is it? 19. Amru Sheher Eyu. Vezeh Bederech Re'iya Bovad. Lo biderech mesira, k'adam hamare davar l'chaver liros avein nosin lo. So I say, look, you see it? You see it? He showed it to him. That there's going to be this great, vast Torah. But did Moshe actually receive it? No. So when he sat in Arei Kiva Shir, he saw it, but he didn't actually receive it. And that's a reconciliation. I don't think that's the best reconciliation. It's a nice diuk, hereyu. But I think it's a better idea. And the idea would be as follows. I think this is what the Rambam is subscribing to, and I think that's the Yesod. Was Moshe Rabbeinu given everything at Har Sinai? The answer is no. He was given the following. Torah Shebichtav, he was given category 1, and he was given category 2, and he was given the tools and methodology of category 3. He was given the tools of Yud Gimel Midos Shator and Yudresva. The tools of Kal V'chomer, Gzereshava, Hekesh, and all the rest. Kaluprat. He was given the principles through which you derive Torah. So when we are told that Moshe was given everything, what does that mean, he was given everything? Potential. He was given everything in potential. Everything was his in potential. But every single generation of the future, using their seichel, using their intellect, using their kochos, then has to go ahead and bring it out. He was given kol ha-Torah kula in potential, but who is it on, if you will, to create Torah? Who is the creator of Torah?
Us.
So the answer is we are. And I would suggest to you, and I would submit to you, that, if I will, who is the owner of Torah Shebich Saf? What? That's Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is the creator of Torah Shebaal Peh?
We are.
Every generation. Every single generation is the creator of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yes, you got to use the right rules of the game. And yes, 2,000 years after the fact, we are beholden to Chazal. But we are, in a certain sense, conceptual Chazal. Every Beis Medrash, with the opportunity for Chiddush and for development, using those principles, are creating Torah Shebaal Peh. And the best proof of this is the other Gemara you're all familiar with. And that is the famous Gemara of Tanur Shel Achnoi. The Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. I don't think it's here on the sheets. But what does the Gemara of Tanur Shel Achnoi basically say? Famous Gemara. There's a machlekes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer on a given issue of tumah of an oven. And Rabbi Elazar says tameh, Rabbi Yeshua says tahar, and Rabbi Elazar proves his point from the river going upstream, from the Beis Medrash's walls caving in, from the carob tree, and then ultimately from a baskel that comes down from heaven and says, halacha, Rabbi Eliezer. And what does Rabbi Yeshua respond? I don't care about the Beis Medrash, I don't care about the carob tree, I don't care about the, and I don't even care about the baskel. Why? Because lo bashamayim. What is that Gemara telling you? Who is the quote-unquote owner of Torah Shebaal Peh? It's not Hashem's. It's not Moshe. Not Moshe. It's not Hashem's. It's not. It was given to us. And now we were told, these are the rules of interpretation. These are the rules of the game. Now run with it. Mashal lemaha davar dome. When Hashem created the world, the physical world, what did He create? He created raw materials. He created a universe with trees and some, you know, soil and some mud and some water and all of that. Did He create a world with skyscrapers, with spaceships, with iPods? With no, He created a world of raw material, and He says, "Now this is yours, pru urvu milos haaretz v'kivshua. Now it's yours to create. Go for it. Build with it what you think is appropriate." Same thing with Torah. She, Bichsav, these are the rules. And to the point that, who was right, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua? Who was right? Pashupshat, Klapeshmaya, who was right? Rabbi Eliezer was right. But who was right? Rabbi Yeshua was right. Why? Because it's not Hashem's to decide. It's Achre Rab Mahatos, Mashlama Dover Dome. You remember, you've heard of the Supreme Court? Supreme Court in America, one of the justices once had a very lumdish hakir. Lumdish hakir, beautiful hakir. He wanted to know. Supreme Court's the highest law of the land, yes? Whatever they say goes. He says, are we final because we're right? Or are we right because we're fine? You hear the lumbus? You don't hear
they're right because they're fine.
The answer is they're right because they're final. It's not that they're final because they're right. They might not. They're right because they're final. That's why they're right. They're the last stop. So they're right by definition. So once you apply the regular rules, and that, what's the end of that Gemara of Tanur Shel Achnoi? One above Mitzia. What's the end of the Gemara? How's the Gemara end? What's Hashem's response to Rabbi Yeshua saying, Lo Bashamayim? He laughs, he says, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. My sons have defeated me. My sons have defeated me. Which means, yeah, this is the Ratzon Hashem, is that we become the Balei HaMesorah, we create the Torah, and then His will, with a capital H, becomes what Chazal and what the Rabbanim decide. That becomes His will. He bends His will, so to speak, to the vision of Chazal. And that is, broadly speaking, so why is it that in many yeshivas, not ours, but many yeshivas, they place a very high premium on Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Okay, yeah, I get this all the time. I'm joking. Why do people, these youngsters say, I don't want to learn Gemara, I want to learn the basics. I want to learn Chumash and Nach and all those fun stories. Story time. Why do we emphasize, why do yeshivas emphasize Torah Shebal Peh? No, it's the opposite, actually. His Ratzin is your Ratzin. But no. The answer is because if you're learning Torah Shviksav, okay, you're learning his. You're not being a creator. You're not, it's his. You're learning his, which is great. But it's, you're getting like a small piece of the story. What's bigger, Torah Shviksav or Torah Shebal Peh? Torah Shebal Peh is so, it's actually, it's a machlokes Gemara Masechas Gittin Daf Samach. What's bigger? But the answer is clearly what's bigger. There's no question about it, what's bigger. What's bigger is Torah Shebal Peh. You know why there's machlokes? Because do you include Torah Shebal Peh as, well, part of Torah Shviksav based on the same idea, because it's all coming from that place, but it's asking us, demanding us to be creative. Look, please, skip to source number what? Number four. Look at page number four. I just want to look with you at a great Mare Makom, number six. What? Packet four, source six. Packet four, source six. So this is a Beis Halevi. Drush Yurches. And the Beis Halevi Drush Yurches writes as follows. Vine al yedei ze, shenitan lahem achar kach bal peh, the fact that we have a Torah Shebal Peh, nis'alu ba Yisrael mala gedola yoser, that elevates us to another level. And he gives a mashal, it's a very powerful idea. T'mikodem, initially, d'kol ha-Torah haya ramos behaluchos, when the Torah, yes, a lot of Torah is embedded in the Chumash. It's embedded there. And we have to extract it and derive it and use our intellect to pull it out. But it's embedded there. When it's just Torah Shebichsav, embedded there. So is it there in potential, we said? It's there in potential. When you learn Torah Shebichsav, where it's there in potential, but not really out there. So he says, Yisrael v'hatorah shnei inyanim. The Jewish people and the Torah are two separate and distinct concepts. There's Torah, who authored Torah? Hashem, and then we're learning his Torah, which has potential, but that's it. The Yisrael Haim Amakim La Torah Veshomosa Vahaya Oz, and it's analogous to the Bechinas Kli Shemunat Ba HaTorah. Kmo Aran Kodesh Shemunat Ba Sefer Torah V'Tashmishe Kedusha. When we learn Torah Shebichsav and we absorb it, we take it all in, so we're like the Aran Kodesh that is absorbing and holding and carrying what? The Sefer. Are we one with the Torah? We're not one with the Torah. We're the Aron Kodesh that's holding Sefer Torah. Good? That's called Tashmishe Kedusha. But now that we engage, Aval Achra Kach Denisal and Torah Shebal Peh, which really, who is creating Torah Shebal Peh? We become integrally involved in Torah Shebal Peh, and it's Uvit Sorascha. It's our Torah. So then all of a sudden, we're not just an Aron Kodesh holding a Sefer Torah. We become what? We become the Sefer Torah itself. We become, he writes, Nimsa di Yisrael Haim bebechinas klaf shel Torah Shebal Peh. We are the klaf of the Torah Shebal Peh. Kmo she'amar hakosav kosvom aluach libecha. Kmo she'aklaf shel Sefer Torah hu etzma kedusha l'tashmish haklaf kosvo, so too we become etzem hakedusha. And that happens through which kind of learning? Torah Shebal Peh, where we become a creative force in the Limud HaTorah process. Agav, what do you do with a Jewish body after it dies? After it's no longer functioning? You bury it. What's the idea of burial?
Returning it to...
It's Kneza. What do you do with a Sefer Torah when it's no longer functional, when it's worn out? You have to bury it. It's Gneza. Kedusha requires Gneza. And that's why a Jewish body also is like a cloth and requires Gneza. That's That's the vision of the Beis HaLevi. Now, I just want to make a few small little points because I have a couple of minutes left, which are just cute points. But the main yisod I wanted to share with you. But there are a lot of indicators that, of course, there's certain things that you have to have Torah Shabbat Peh. And sometimes we ask, like, why Torah Shabbat Peh? Why not just Torah Shabbat? So I have a couple of just cute little ideas. First of all, there's a beautiful concept that is developed. If you look at the Rav Sefer, the Rav Berg's first Sefer, Nitzaitzis, there's a nice, the first volume, I think, is Bracious. He's got a nice, there's a nice foreword. Was written by someone I know, and so it's a nice, and it speaks in the foreword about it quotes the idea that in Parshas Vayelech, I believe, the Torah refers to kisvu es hashira hazos, and refers to the Torah as a shira. What is a shira? A poem. What is the idea that the Torah is referred to as a shira? So in a shira, prose is very different than poetry. In poetry, you don't only derive meaning from the words on the page. Poetry, the rhythm enhances meaning. The rhyming enhances meaning. Sometimes an author will write a message by hiding his words in an acrostic in the poetry itself. If you've studied Shakespeare and his sonnets, there's a cadence, there's a rhythm, there's beside the words, there's meaning beyond the words. You need to read between the lines. You need to hear the melody of the writing. So Torah is referred to as a shira, and the drashos and the limudim. It's not just something that emerges from the words themselves. And you'll have drushes that come from all different kinds of places, different ideas, because that's all implanted, embedded, and part of what our job is. So if you look at packet number 3, just a few cute ideas that look at source number 9 and 10. Why it's so critically important to have a Torah Shebaal Peh. Read, if you look at the 9 and 10, what does that pasuk say? Gavi, you want to read it for us? No, 9 and 10. What? I'm in packet 3.
Packet 3. Oh, okay.
What'd you say? No, say it the first way. I like the first way better. Okay. Okay, what does that mean?
All the fat of a...
No, you said chalav.
Oh, did I say chalav? So all the milk.
Right. Then what does the next pasuk say? 10? Or how do you know chalav? Are there nekudos in the Chumash? There's no nekudos in the Chumash. So how do you know that in pasuk 9 it really says chalav? And how do you know in pasuk 10 it's really chalav? Maybe you can't cook the meat of the gdi in the fat of the mother. How do you know? The answer is you have to have a Torah Shebaal Peh. Look at turn the page, as I discussed with my friend Ving the other day. Look at 11. Unbelievable. Unbelievable pasuk. He wanted to know, how do we deal with ta'amim? Ta'amim. So the pasuk says, listen to this pasuk in Parsh Kedoshim. Lo signovu v'lo techachashu v'lo teshakru ish ba'amiso. So you're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to seize property. You can't lie. Ish ba'amiso. What does ish ba'amiso mean? A man and his am, meaning it's applying to Jew and Jew. Rabosai, what about goyim? What about goyim? So look at ishpa amiso. What's it qualifying? You could read the pasuk saying it's qualifying all three isurim, or it's qualifying the third isur, or the second and third isur. So look at the Ritva in Chulin. The Ritva says, "V'chiksi b'sefer dekra ish b'amiso d'memai goy ha'hi adalot techakashu v'lo teshakru koy v'hainu namid yavina esnachta b'lo tignovu." Look how the Trup reads. Trup reads, "Lo signovu esnachta." What does esnachta mean? It's like a hard comma. Don't steal from who? From anyone. Lo techakashu v'lo teshakru. That's ish b'amiso. How do you know that? You don't have to read the pasuk that way. You could put the comma after lo teshakru. You could put the comma after lo ketechachashu. The answer is, that's where you need halacha l'moshe. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. Similar, he puts here, it's cute, but I like it, so I'm going to mention it. It's cute. He writes over here the previous page. He just gives you an example. Slow, children crossing. Where do you put the comma? Slow children crossing? Or is it slow children crossing? So we know where to put the comma, but comma makes all the difference in the world. Let's eat grandma. Where do you put the comma? Makes a big difference if you're a cannibal or if you're not a cannibal. Anyway, you get the idea. Rabosa, look at 13, 14, 15 very quickly. How do you know the laws of Shechita? How do you know the laws of Shechita? Are there laws of Shechita?
Yes.
Where in the Chumash are the laws of Shechita discussed?
They are.
So the Pasuk says, look at 13, in Dvarim, it says where it's underlined, Vizavachta mibekarcha umitzonecha asher nasan Hashem lecha kasher tzivisipa. You shall shech the animals that you have as I commanded you. Look high and low for a command in the Chumash about Shechita. You know where you're going to find it? Nowhere. But you shall shech the animals as exactly as I commanded you. What is that? That's a clear allusion to Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, and there are myriad of examples. How do you know what tzitzis are, tefillin, mezuzah, Shabbos, myriad of examples. And that's the idea. So I guess I will stop here and just share with you the following. I want to just sum up, and the reason I did this exercise with you today is because it is the penultimate day. But I thought it was worthwhile to give you a sense as you embark on the rest of your lives in your Limud HaTorah careers. Sometimes we have questions that are legitimate questions. Why so much emphasis in Gemara? Why? How do these drushes work? You hear these Gemaras and Midrashim Psukim, and it seems so far-fetched. What's that all about? So the answer is you have to also understand the system of Torah Shebaal Peh. You have to understand what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? The Rambam's Hakdama is critically, critically important. How do Machlokes evolve and devolve? And why the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh? And I think the answer is that yes. The idea of Torah Shebaal Peh is infinite. Torah Shebiksav is finite. Torah Shebiksav is, you could put on one bookshelf, you can put all Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebaal Peh is what fills up tomes upon tomes and shelves upon shelves of Bate Midrashim. And that's because it is infinite. That's because there are potential for Chidushim. That's because it's ours. And every generation, there's going to be opportunities for new Chidushim. We're a little limited in our generation, 2,000 years after the fact, because we do have our Torah Shebaal Peh, Shebaal Peh has become a little more textual because we have Gemaras, we have Yerides Hadoros, we need these texts. But I will tell you all the time, even why is Gemara so difficult? Why do we have such a tough time with Gemara? Because the Gemara is just, and this Rav Hirsch writes about this about Chumash as well, the Gemara is just a memory device. The Gemara is the conversations Abai, Rava, Ravina, Ravashi in the Beis Medrash. And it gave us a little snippet. You ever learn art scroll? Maybe you have learned art scroll before, once or twice. If you learn art scroll ever, you'll notice they have some words that are bolded and some words in the English translation that are not bolded. What's the chilek between bolded and not bolded? Bolded translation. Which one's more, the bolded or the non-bolded? Non-bolded. Why? Because that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, the bold is just to remember what, like the triggering things. When you're learning Bechavrusa, what you should be doing, especially Bekiyas, is after you read the text, you should be saying it over outside. You should be saying over the Shakavataria, the back and forth, because that's ultimately, and then you start to, and a lot of times we've had this already this year, at least once or twice or thrice. Sometimes you have a line in a Gemara, and the Rishon says Pshat, and it's like it doesn't fit so well with the words. Is that going to be a tragic problem for us in Torah Shebaal Peh? It's not tragic. It's not tragic. When is it tragic if it doesn't fit with the words? Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not about the words. Torah Shebaal Peh is about the ideas, the concepts. And those concepts are concepts that we are deriving, that we are working through, that we are figuring out as part of being the developers of Torah, as being part of the Chachmei HaMasor, the Mitzvah Hashem we are, as we transmit. And we should go ahead and be zeichet to get that inspiration from both Limud of Torah Shebiksav and becoming ourselves, Klaf, of Sefer Torah. We are part of the Torah itself because of our engaging in that creative process. Have an excellent day.
Thank you.